All right, let's take our Bibles this evening. We'll have our Bible study out of the book of Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians 3. We'll be maybe looking back and forth at both of those passages, so maybe put a bookmarker in one or both of those spots, and we'll make our way back and forth. Well, last week I gave you a message out of Luke chapter 17, if you remember. We were studying on this thought as we lead up to our prayer and our praise and thanksgiving service next Tuesday. And I took those two words from Thanksgiving of giving thanks, and I looked up several passages that concluded those words. And we were in Luke 17 last week where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And it taught us there how one of them looked back and gave thanks. And so I wanted to continue with that this evening, and then next Tuesday we'll have our praise and testimony service that we'll have next Tuesday, as well as the Lord's Supper will be observed next week, so you keep that in mind. But I looked up some more of those passages and studied through them, and tonight I want to look at two passages here that contain those phrases, one in Colossians and the other in the book of Ephesians. And of course, we want to have hearts that are thankful and grateful and giving thanks. I think it's something that we may consider that is often learned or taught. Parents have taught their children. Now, what do you say after somebody gives them something? And you remind them frequently, and you want them to say thank you, and you want them to express that. Earlier this week in the school here, I was with one of our elementary classes, and I heard the teacher remind the students to say thank you. That's good practices from a parent, from a teacher. We ought to do those things, but eventually we want our children to embrace that and to express grateful hearts. Now, the danger can be when we do that in a way of where we've taught them to do that, that maybe at times it's not from a sincere heart. It's just out of, what's what I say, and maybe they don't even think about it. Somebody gives them something and they just say thank you, or maybe we do this sometimes and there's not a sincere or genuineness behind that thanks. And so this evening I wanted to give us some thoughts here on how we can give thanks sincerely. Giving thanks with authenticity behind it, with a realness behind it, that we truly do mean this. Notice with me in our text this evening, verse 17 of Colossians 3. Let's read verse 16 and then we'll go into verse 17. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Both of these books, both of these passages include that phrase of giving thanks. And both passages, both in Ephesians and in Colossians, that thought of giving thanks is sandwiched on either side with a verse about praise on the top of it, the previous verse. And the verse below that verse is on submission. Each of those passages give us thoughts on praise, giving thanks, and submission, both in Ephesians and in Colossians. In fact, they both fall under the context of a similar thought. Ephesians chapter 5, you're right there. Look at verse number 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That tends to be one of the verses that I fall back to a lot, Ephesians 5:18. You probably heard me mention it before here. Being filled with the Spirit. The idea there is that you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're letting the Holy Spirit control you. He's in charge of you. The idea there is that person that is filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Now in Colossians chapter 3, and by the way, in Ephesians 5, he speaks about being filled with the Spirit and that it's evidenced by a person that lives a life of praise in verse number 19, a life of thanksgiving in verse 20, and a life of submission in verse 21. Colossians 3 has those same thoughts. Again, verse number 16 speaks about singing and making melody in our hearts with the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verse 17 speaks about giving thanks. And then verse 18 mentions submission. But instead of being under the topic or under the heading of being filled with the Spirit, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, if I were to just take the Ephesians passage, I would say being filled by the Spirit is evidenced with a life of praise, giving thanks, and submission. If I were just to take the Colossians passage, I would say this: letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it would be evidenced by a life of praise, giving thanks, and submission. The evidences are the same in both passages, but what brings those things are different, or are they different? Being filled with the Spirit and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. As I meditated on that thought of letting the Word of Christ, of course that's speaking of the words of Christ, of God's Word, of His Word, dwelling in you. It gives me the thought of something that has taken someone or something that has taken residence, is living in, dwelling in. It makes us think of a house or a home, someplace where somebody resides. And so let the word of Christ dwell or live in you. And then it gives that other descriptive word there, richly. Well, what does that mean? Richly would give us the idea of abundance, wouldn't it? More than enough, an excess. And so when I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly, I'm bringing much of God's word into me. It's dwelling in me. It's flowing over in my life. And the results of that, the evidences of that, again, verse number 16, a life of praise. Verse 17, a life of giving thanks. And then there's this submission there in verse number 18. Now, these two passages, interesting. Paul wrote Ephesians, he wrote Colossians, and in fact he wrote Philippians and Philemon from the same location. Anybody know where that was? It was in a jail cell, in prison. I've thought about that, by the way. I've never been in jail, all right? I've not been arrested and imprisoned yet. The deacons did check that out before they presented me as a candidate to make sure I had a clean record. But I've had to go to jail a few times. I've had to go to a prison a few times to make some visits. And even in those instances, boy, that was not a comfortable feeling. I've had to be patted down to make sure I was not bringing in any type of files or little things to shanks or anything, I guess. You know, they checked me out and put me through the metal detectors and patted me down and sent me through one door and hear that door lock behind me and clank shut. Man, I was like, man, how long do I have in here? Because I'm ready to get out already. And to go into this room for visitation, I wanted my back against a wall, all right? I wanted to see everything in front of me. I was anxious. I was nervous. And to think about living in an atmosphere like that, and especially under the situation that Paul was in. Paul was in jail because of his faith, not because he was a criminal. Not because he had done anything morally or legally wrong. He was in jail because of his faith. And I wonder how my attitude and my presence would be. Would I be able to write a book like Philippians that's all about rejoicing? I mean, that seems kind of odd, doesn't it, while he's in prison writing a book about rejoicing. There's a preacher over in Ireland, Ian Paisley. I believe he wrote a commentary in the book of Ephesians while he was in prison for his faith. They had imprisoned him, and he wrote that commentary. And I've wondered what I would be able to write and do. But, of course, Paul is there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and certainly under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he writes these letters, and here he writes about how we can have these evidences in our lives of praise, giving thanks, and submission. In both Ephesians and Colossians, I don't look at these as conflicting concepts, competing concepts, or contrasting, but they're complementary to one to the other. Ephesians gives more light to Colossians, and Colossians gives some light on Ephesians. I've often thought to myself, how can I be filled with the Spirit? I know I need to be filled with the Spirit, but how? How is that accomplished? What do I do in my life so that I can be filled with the Spirit? And then when I read this footnote once that sent me over to Colossians chapter 3, I think one way that we get closer to being filled with the Spirit is when I let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly. The more I read God's Word and I absorb God's Word and I bring God's Word into my life, the more apt I am to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I wrote it out like this: if when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with His Word. When you're filled with His Word, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, when I am those things, letting the Word of Christ dwell in me richly, and I am filled with the Spirit, the giving thanks part is a result. The giving thanks part just happens. It's part of your DNA then. It's a part of who you are as a believer, as a child of God that's under the control of the Holy Spirit and His Word, that those things are going to come out. Those things are going to happen. That's how Paul could be in a prison cell singing praises to God. It wasn't that he was putting on a show. It's that he was controlled by the Spirit of God, and God's Word filled his life. And that's what happened. Even in the darkest and the deepest and the hardest times of his life, there was a life of praise. There's a life of giving thanks. Of course, we have much to be thankful for. We're in a season where we'll spend time giving thanks. I'm looking forward to next Tuesday evening to allow our church family to share with one another of how God is blessed in our lives. And as I mentioned last week, though, it doesn't have to be one time a year, does it, when we're giving thanks? And when you'll be letting the Holy Spirit control you and letting the Word of Christ fill you, dwell in you richly, it'll be a part of our daily lives. You'll thank God even in the difficult times, even in the hard times. A life of giving thanks will be on display and will be genuine and will be real and will be sincere. So I'd ask you to join me that we would let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Appreciate the testimony of Kathy and Christy this evening, encouraging us on how letting God's Word fill us, dwell in us, and spending time in the Word. What an important aspect in our Christian lives, and what great results from it. You'll live a life of praise, thanks, and submission. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you so much for your Word. We pray, God, that you help us to spend time with you in your Word. Lord, as it says, let it dwell in us richly, in excess. Live in us, God. Lord, if there's something we need to be in excess with, God, it would be you and your Word. So, Lord, the more we receive of you and your Word, the more we are controlled by you. Help us to embrace that. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd watch over us tonight as we go to our separate places and homes and go throughout the rest of this week. Please protect us and watch over us. And, Father, bring us back on the weekend, Lord, ready to worship and adore you this coming Sunday at our on the Lord's Day. Lord, give us opportunities to share our faith this week, God. Let us be faithful in that venture, Lord. Lord, we'll thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.